brethren, our study this evening begins on page 234, first paragraph, and question number 36 on page 40 is a question. Now, we were examining on the chart when the church receives her justification by faith in the blood of Christ, that we're lifted from plane R to plane N. That with the robe of Christ, we are pictured as justified, our flesh is pictured as justified in God's sight. Then we saw that plane M represented the condition of spirit together, that we're going to get, that we did get in the last paragraph, and we'll also go into it here. Now, would everybody speak a little louder because of the fan? And Brother Charles, would you read that first paragraph on 234?
When we present all these things, we say, Lord, how wouldst thou have me deliver this, my sacrifice, my time, talent, influence, etc. to thee? Then examining God's word for an answer, we hear his voice instructing us to deliver our all to him as our Lord Jesus did, by doing good unto all men as we have opportunity, especially to the household of faith, serving them with spiritual or with natural food, clothing them in Christ's righteousness, or with the earthly raiment, as we may have ability, or as they may need. Having consecrated all, we are begotten of the Spirit. We have reached plane M, and now, through the power given unto us, if we use it, we will be able to perform all of our covenant and to come off conquerors, more than conquerors. For the power of the Spirit, Him who loved us and brought us with His own precious blood, but thus walking in the footsteps of Jesus.
Yes, thank you, Charles. Harriet, would you read Galatians 6, verse 2 and 10?
Doesn't Paul go in with the paragraph?
Yes, it does.
May I read it?
That's a comma.
Yes. All right, Charles, would you read it, please?
Never think the victory won, nor once at ease sit down. Thine arduous work will not be done till thou hast gained thy crown.
Laurie, would you read Romans 8, verses 35 to 39? Harry, Galatians 6, verses 2 and 10.
Galatians 6, 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. In verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith.
Romans 8, 35 to 39. If this sounds a little different, it's because I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. Is that all right? Okay. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Thank you, both. You know, the Apostle Paul was quoting from Psalms 44, verse 22, as it is written. Would you read that, Francis? You'll find that in your margin. Psalm 44, verse 22. the apostle would quote from Old Testament scriptures.
Psalm 44, verse what?
22.
Oh, 22?
Oh, okay. Yea, for thy sake are we killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter.
All right, thank you all. All right, now, the last question, 36. When we present our all to the Lord and ask how we should perform our service, what instructions are given us through His Word?
Well, we know that we are to deliver all that we have. In other words, all that we have are His. And this is for doing His will, doing good unto all men, especially to the household of faith. And we are to also, if we do this, says having consecrated all, we are born of the Spirit, we are on the plain end. And we are to perform, not only know these things, but to do them.
All right, thank you, Anna. Are there any further thoughts or questions?
We're not born of the Spirit, we're begotten of the Spirit.
All right, let's go on then to the next paragraph. Let's see now. It's a very short paragraph. Paul, would you read that?
The crown will be won when we, like our faithful brother Paul, have fought the good fight and finished the course, but no sooner. Until then, the flame and incense of our sacrifice of labor and service ascend daily, and sacrifice a sweet odor unto God, acceptable through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Yes, thank you, Paul. Mary, would you read 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 and 7? And Esther, Philippians 4, verse 18.
I have read also in 2 Timothy.
Oh,
I don't know.
6 to 8?
Yeah.
All right. Mary, would you read that? Yes, please.
For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing.
And Esther, Philippians 4:18.
But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God.
Yes, thank you. All right. Question number 37. How will our crown be won? See, actually, when you think of the nominal church going to church, if you ever ask them about the crown, they wouldn't even know what you're talking about. They feel that all you have to do is be a member of the church and lead a good life, and you automatically go to heaven.
Lori said, did you say when or how in the question?
In the question.
She thought you misread it.
Oh, I may have. Oh, yes, I said how. When will our crown be won?
How? That's a 10-hour subject.
Well, try to say it in a few words. All right, Paul.
Well, the course will be like Paul. Paul, at the end of his ministry, he said he stands at the mark and is ready to be offered. He had done all things. You know, in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, speaking of the resurrection, and is showing the different resurrections, the raising of the dead of humanity, and also those who are faithful to Christ. But then, in the I like the last two verses in the chapter, after where he says the sting of death is sin and the strength of the sin is the law, that Paul says, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We will get the victory over death through the ransom sacrifice of Christ. But, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So your labors in the Lord are what make you steadfast and unmovable. A comprehensive knowledge of the divine plan, your portion in the divine plan, and your sacrifice of your human nature to do the Lord's will. These things will get you into the kingdom when you have completed all. You know, we can't be like Paul and say that we've done all that we can. We do what we can as long as we can and as long as we are able. The Lord only knows when to take us, just like he knew when to take our Lord Jesus, and he also knew when to take Paul and all the saints down through the whole of the gospel age. There's no specified time for each one.
All right, thank you, Paul. Yes,
in 1 Corinthians 9:24-25, I looked up the word crown, and I wanted to see it in the Bible where it says that the church.
You looked up the word what?
Crown in the back
crown,
of my
yeah.
Bible, because I wanted to see a scripture that had the word crown pertaining to the church class. And you know, the 24th and the 25th verse, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible.
In my version has wreath. In my version it has wreath.
Wreath.
A perishable wreath.
Yes. In the Olympic Games, that's what they used to do. They used to give a wreath. It symbolized a crown, the crowning achievement of having won the race. Esther, Charles, and Harry.
Yes, we are supposed to fight the good fight of faith the best we can. But we have to remember that it's by grace we are saved through the merit of Christ's righteousness. That should keep us humble. Because of ourselves, we are nothing. I mean, we could be working every day for the Lord, but unless we recognize that one fact, that it's by the grace of God and for the merit of our beloved Master, that we can attain this crown.
Yes, thank you. Yes, by grace or by the favor of God that he allows us to run the race. And Brother Charles?
Well, if it was until then, Revelations 2:10, the latter portion reads, be thou faithful unto death, then I will give thee the crown of life. But in reference to Apostle Paul and 1 Timothy 6:12, he said, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called, thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Also, well, that's it.
Thank you. And Harriet, and then Paul.
On the part that speaks of incense and sacrifice in the paragraph, Psalm 141:2 is good.
All right. Venice, would you read Psalm 142?
141, verse 2.
141, verse 2. Now, this is taking us, and I want to add a question to Harriet's, to this scripture. Remember in our tabernacle studies, the scripture that we read in Philippians 4:18, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Now, remember when the high priest went into the Most Holy, which represents the presence of God, he had the incense. And the smell of the incense preceded him when he went into the Most Holy, into the presence of God. Now, would you read that, Venice?
Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice.
All right. Now, our prayer is compared to incense, and the lifting up of the hands. What does the lifting up of the hands represent and connect it with Philippians 4:18? What was the context of why Paul said this? About the brother Epaphroditus or
Epaphroditus.
All right, now why was the apostle Paul what was he talking about there? What had the brethren at Thessalonica done? They had sent him things that he needed. You know, not only a gift, but it was something that they knew he needed because he was devoting so much time to the preaching of the gospel. So what does the lifting up of the hands represent? Harriet? All right, Venice?
Service.
Yes. It represents the service toward our brethren.
It was the sacrifice of the brethren.
Yes. So we see how the tabernacle sacrifice was a shadow of the service of the brethren for each other and for the Lord. All right. Let's see now. Paul and Charles.
Well, getting back to what Venice asked about, was it 1 Corinthians 9:25, Venice? You were talking about.
Right, was
the
there
crowns?
Another question before the class?
No. Right. No, it's about the crowns.
Oh, all right.
Because you know, there's many crowns in the Bible. Now, the crowns Paul's speaking of here, Paul's speaking of the Roman crowns, which could be made of parsley or some kind of laurel vines and so forth. And he says, now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. The racers and so forth. But we, on the other hand, we an incorruptible crown. The crown that we strive for is not one of mastery of games, but a crown of life, a crown of kingship, a crown of priesthood. This is the crown. And the crown that Paul is differentiating from these corruptible crowns to the kingdom, kingly crown. David wore kingly crown, and he took crowns off of the heads of other kings. So these are noble crowns, and the crown that we're speaking of attaining is the crown of life, or on the other side of the veil, to be kings and priests with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's not a crown made with gold, silver, and precious stones that we will wear, but it's speaking of the condition of royalty, that particular kind of crown, or one with immortality.
All right, thank you, Paul. Charles and Anna and Mark.
Was 2 Corinthians 2, 14-16 read?
No, it wasn't.
In reference to the older ones of God, it reads here...
What chapter?
2 Corinthians 2, 14-16. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and make it manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. So we are to God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. For the one we are the savor of death unto death, and for the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? So here is the thought that lifting up our hands also is like we present to one of us brought out about the Psalms and another one from the New Testament. So it's the lifting up the hands of, that we have in these two testaments, our hands.
Yes, now we see you read a scripture like this, and it can be misapplied. Like, say, for example, the ad said, the opportunity of salvation for all. And verse 16 here in 2 Corinthians, the second chapter, it says, to the one, and he's talking about two classes that hear the ministry of the saints. And to the one class, it's a savor of death unto death. It doesn't mean a thing to them. They hear it in one ear and out the other. No credence at all to the message you're preaching. So as a result, the Adamic death, they're still in their sins. They don't recognize the gospel, and they remain in their sins. To the other class that hears the message, accepts the message, it is a savor of life unto life. They accept the gospel, they consecrate to God, and they have the opportunity of walking in the narrow way. So it's not the matter of condemning people, but rather it's of a matter of the effect of the gospel to two separate classes. All right, Sister Anna?
I was going to say, in the fifth volume, it refers to this crown as the reward that the church will receive. When they're faithful unto death, as Paul brought out, they will be divine, they will be immortal. And they will
the
be
crown, born. They will receive the crowning life.
That's right.
And
that's
all the privileges that go with it.
That's in volume 5, I think on 414.
Thank you, Anna. Martha?
It was just my translation.
On which verse?
This is at 25.
What book are we talking about?
This is the International.
First Corinthians 9.
Oh, okay.
They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever.
Yes, thank you. All right, I guess we covered that pretty thoroughly. All right, shall we go on to the next paragraph? Sister Martha, would you read the next paragraph?
Those of this overcoming class who sleep will be raised spirit beings, plain L, and those of the same class who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will be changed to the same plane of spirit being and will not sleep for a moment, though the change will necessitate the dissolution of the earthen vessel. No longer weak, earthly, mortal, corruptible beings, these will then be fully born of the Spirit, heavenly, spiritual, incorruptible, immortal beings.
Yes. Thank you, Martha. All right, now let's read the scripture And the scripture is in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 44 and 52. It's in the paragraph. Let's see, Sister M.
It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, when the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised, incorruptible, and we shall be changed.
Yes, thank you. You notice how harmonious Scripture 52 gives it when it speaks of the trumpet as the last trumpet, and it also refers to the time that last trump sounds, with 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. Let's just read that again in order to refresh our
memory. Read the 15th.
Martha. Excuse me, Paul?
I think the 15th, too. Gives you the connection.
15 to 17, Martha.
4, 15 to 17?
Yes.
For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Is that 17:2?
17.
Then we who are alive, who are left, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord.
Yes, thank you. All right. A question, 36. Question 38. What will be the experience of those who sleep and of those of the same class who are alive at the second advent of the Lord? Now, this probably is one of the most perplexing scriptures that the nominal church do not know how to apply, and that's the reason they can't accept the second presence of Christ. All right, Paul?
Well, from the first advent of our Lord, or the gospel age, from Pentecost, down through to the last trump, we know the experience of the six trumps, to the finality of the sixth trump, to the sounding of the seventh trump, the class, the spirit begotten class, are asleep. Some slept for 1800 years or better. Some slept for 100 years, whatever, how many, none, they all slept in the graves, but they were waiting. But the, after the sounding of the seventh trump and then the raising of the dead takes place, those that are alive from thenceforth will not sleep and wait 1 year, 2 years, 10 years, 100 years, but when the body expires, that last breath, they automatically, instantaneously, as the scriptures bring out, in a moment of the twinkling of the eye, they shall be changed to be with their Lord. They will not have to wait, as it were, as did the other saints that preceded them.
Right.
It doesn't mean, you know, that First Thessalonians, this is the chapter that gives the thought, or this is where they get the thought of the rapture from, especially where it says the Lord in the 16th verse, or the 17th, that we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. It means, from this, they take that the whole group, Baptists especially, believe that the whole group is going to be taken away together. And this is
they
not
all take that.
Mostly the Baptists are into this. Some of the Adventists do, but predominantly the Baptists. But the context of this scripture is not that at all. But we which are alive and remain, will one by one be caught up and taken away. See, they're thinking that God, the Lord, is going to stand up in the clouds that we literally see up in the sky in spirit, and he's going to be up there with a trumpet and blow the trumpet, and they're all going to, all the Baptists or whoever believes in this thought is going to automatically just raise up to heaven just like Jesus did at his ascension. But that's too far-fetched to even suppose to being an actuality. So the scripture doesn't mean that. Scripture means that those that, as we go back, it says, we which are alive and remain unto the presence of the Lord shall not prevent them. We which are alive, speaking in its successive years of, since the trumpet, sounding of the trump, as each one lives his life, proves his consecration value, the Lord calls him, and he is changed year by year, brother by brother, sister by sister, down even to the present day.
All right, thank you. Now, under the literal Greek, where it says twinkling of an eye, it has twink and then ling is supplied. So I was wondering whether some of the translations might say in the blink of an eye. Does everyone have on 1 Corinthians 15:52? I was reading from the literal Greek.
First Corinthians, you're talking about now?
1 Corinthians 15:52.
Twinkling. This is the revised, in the twinkling of an eye.
They have twinkling also?
Yeah. I look at the
All right. And does anyone have a different word? Because you know when you speak about twinkling eyes,
you say a blink. Is that what you're?
You're actually thinking of people that are happy.
International.
Their eyes are twinkling.
International is in the twinkling of an eye also.
Yeah. But really, what it means is in a blink of the eye.
I think it means blink too.
It does.
Yeah.
Because I never thought of it, but I looked under the Greek. The ling is provided. It's not the Greek doesn't have. Twinkling, it has twink. I should have looked up the word to see how many times it appears in the New Testament to see how it's translated.
Check it in the Lindell and Scott, but you got to use the Greek word.
No, I can check it in Strong's.
No, I mean in Lindell and Scott, Martha. You can't check it under twinkling of an eye. You got to give the Greek word.
You have to give the Greek word.
It's only that one place,
Tony.
Twinkling in the Cretans, it's only in one place, 1552.
Oh, it only appears in that one place.
Unless it's translated some other way.
See, it might be translated in another way.
Right, one blink.
I would say, yes, Harry.
No, that's all right. Are you done with this point?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
All right.
Because I had Revelation 14:13 also. I think that's good in this text, because I believe the thought of the rapture, they don't have to die. They're just, they
change.
Just change.
That's it. That's
they
it.
Don't
that,
have to
they
die.
They don't realize that. See?
And then be resurrected.
That's a good
they
point.
They simply are taken up together.
Yeah.
But I think Revelation 14:13 proves they have to die.
Yes. Paul, would you read that at Revelation 14:13?
While Paul is looking that up, can Charlie look up the definition of twinkling? Because it could be the definition. I tried to look for the dictionary there.
Charlie who?
Charlie has the dictionary.
Tony, in my internet, while we're on this, while she said that, in my international, it says, in a flash.
Yes, that's
yeah. better.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
very good.
Yeah.
That's very good.
What scripture is that, Martha?
That's 1 Corinthians 15:52. 51.
Read that again, Martha.
It says, But we will be all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed.
Yes, that's very good.
Flash.
Right, Paul, do you have that?
And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, the Spirit. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them.
And in the dialogue, is their works do follow with them.
I've seen them on cars, these little stickers they have. Beware, the driver of this car may be raptured, it says, or something to that effect, you know. And so they do believe, some do believe in going one by one, too.
But that's a good point that's been brought out, that the scriptures teach that this class has to die. There's no... the last members escaping, because it wouldn't be fair. Here
be like
the Lord says, be thou faithful unto death, and then the last one. All right, Charles.
Well, as a verb, it reads like a shine with a flickering or a flashing light, or with the eyes bright with amusement, or flickering or flashing light. But as a noun, it reads a very short time.
Very short time, yes.
And the flickering would describe it too, that flickering is very short.
Yes. All right, Hannah?
I was going to say, I think Brother Nakora one time gave a talk, if Harry remembers it, on the rapture. Remember that, Harriet?
Vaguely.
Yeah, I think you had gotten it. You said it was very, very...
I vaguely remember.
You remember that one?
Yeah.
And
now that you mention it,
she says it was very, very good. I'd like to hear that one again, if you haven't.
Tapes are in a mess.
All right. Is there any further? Are there any further thoughts before we go to the next paragraph? All right. If not, let's see. Anna, would you read the first paragraph on 235?
We know not how long it will be after their change or perfecting as spirit beings, plain L, before they, as a full and complete company, will be glorified on plain K with the Lord, united with him in power and great glory. This unifying and full glorification of the entire body of Christ with the head we understand to be the marriage of the Lamb to his bride, when she shall fully enter into the joys of her Lord.
Thank you. And Charles, would you read Revelation 19, verse 7?
Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife have made herself ready.
Yes, thank you, Charles. All right. Question 39. What is the marriage of the Lamb? And how is it illustrated on the chart?
It's really the little pyramid W that goes from
9 to 10.
Yeah, that goes from L to K. I mean, when the church is complete, that's when they're considered as the group entering into the marriage. Even though it's all figurative, we realize, you know, but that would be where it's shown.
All right, now, what other thing awaits the marriage of the Lamb? Now remember, there's something else.
The great company.
The great company has to be dealt with.
Yes.
You know,
because
before the marriage takes place. Why?
Because they're spirit begotten.
They're the bridesmaids.
Because they're the bridesmaids.
Yeah, but they follow after them.
Yeah. Well, the ninth, read the ninth verse.
They're married, they're
They're invited
to the marriage.
They go there right there.
To the marriage.
Sure they are.
The
scripture
says
that.
Yeah,
in
That's the ninth verse.
Psalms 45.
19:9, Revelation.
Yeah.
19:9. Right, you want to read that, Paul?
And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are true sayings of God.
In the Revised, it says, Who are invited to the marriage supper.
Yes. Now, Harriet, would you read Psalms 45? Read from verses 13 to 15.
Psalm 45, 13 to 15. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace.
That doesn't necessarily mean that No, that doesn't mean that. Because if you look at your Bible, you'll see that there's a semicolon there. So that means you stop.
Right, so you feel then, Esther, that the marriage will take place and then the great company goes through the great tribulation?
The marriage takes place, yes.
And then the great tribulation takes place?
No. The way Brother Russell puts it.
Not here he doesn't.
Yeah, he says the unifying and full glorification of the entire body of Christ with the head we understand to be the marriage of the Lamb to his bride, when she shall fully enter into the joys of her Lord. Now, I heard a talk with Brother David Durant, and Brother David says, you know, he says, there actually isn't going to be a marriage as we picture it. It's just that it'll be complete. So he says, don't carry that picture that far. But you were saying that maybe Brother Russell says that in another place?
See, Brother Russell, in the first sentence says, We know not how long it will be after their change or perfecting as spirit beings before they, as a full and complete company, will be glorified, claim K, with the Lord, united with Him in power and great glory. Now, the way he's describing it there, he's not being too definite in regards to how it
happens. They are brought to the Father.
So I don't know if we have a scripture that we can be... Yes, Harriet.
I think Revelation 19, 6 and 7 does indicate that, because the great multitude of verse 6 is the us of verse 7.
In Revelation 19?
Yeah. I mean, it was read, but
yes.
But in verse 6, was verse 6 read?
No, just 7 and 9.
And it's the great multitude who's saying, Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come.
But the great company on this side of the veil is also going to know when the church is completed. So it could be, you know, you could even say, that they're going to make that pronouncement that the church is complete.
All right. Lori?
Sister, I read this verse 5.
All right, Lori?
All right. As I was reading here before, under the, these are the comments, right? Under 1 Corinthians, verse 15:52, where we were reading about that verse, in a moment and the twinkling of an eye. One of the comments says, the wise virgins have been entering into the marriage since the autumn of 1878 A.D. and are still entering in, passing beyond the veil, changed in a moment.
Could you read Revelation 19:7?
Revelation
We have a thought that as a company they'll be brought before the king, as a complete company.
Under Anne I heard, or should I start with great company? Oh, a great multitude. Great multitude, it says, the great company at the time of the fall of Babylon. These, though not the bride, are nevertheless beloved of both bridegroom and bride. The different rewards of these two classes, both spiritual, are also shown by Revelation 7:9, 7, 9, 10, 13, and 17. And then also Psalms 45:10-15, which I'm going to just read.
I think there are a couple of thoughts, you know, as to the marriage taking place. But we know that they're entering into the work of the Lord. Whatever the Lord is doing as they pass beyond, they're entering into that work. So I think in that sense, the comment about entering into the marriage, they are cooperating on whatever the Lord is doing. But it does seem from the scriptures that there is something additional when the church is totally complete, that they're presented to the Father in a different,
can
whether
Mari,
the formal way or whatever.
Can Mari read verse 7 of Revelation?
Verse 7 of which?
Of Revelation 19:7.
Oh, all right, all right.
Sure.
Remember, we had just gone through the parable of the wise and foolish virgins in study also. And that study shows that the, tenth verse, and while they went to buy, the foolish virgins that is, the bridegroom came and they that were ready with him, went in with him to the marriage and the door was shut. So the thoughts could be expressed either way. I don't know whether we want to be real dogmatic about it or not.
Well, the great company, awakened from their slumber and separated from Babylon, these finally recognize what they have missed, but they thank God that His plan will still be carried out. This is the Benjamin class, the great company, rejoicing to know the Joseph class, the little flock. It is after the little flock is changed and the great company is still in a measure of tribulation. Realizing that the bride is complete, yet they rejoice to see God's great loving plan as it embraces the sin-destroyed race, and they are filled with God's praise. And there's a lot more.
Yes, the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. When the foolish virgins went to buy the oil, the wise virgin, the groom came, and so Brother Russell brings that out as entering into the marriage, they're joined to their bridegroom. But as Harriet was bringing out in the scriptures in Revelation 19, that the marriage of the Lamb would represent a special event. Now, whether that special event takes place, we know that Armageddon, the church will still be on this side of the veil when they pour out the seventh plague. And then after the seventh plague is poured out, they'll be taken away in the time of trouble. So it's how you want to look at the marriage. The church will be complete before the great company goes into that final trouble and they wash their robes in the blood of the Lamb. All right, we went a little bit. It's in the lesson, but it's a deep study in itself. All right, brethren, and shall we close on page 235? And that will be paragraph 2, and it'll also be another paragraph also. What question is it?
40.
Question 40. And question 40 takes paragraph 2 on 235 all the way to 237, paragraph 1.
There's a lot on the marriage further on.
Yeah, yeah. I knew we were going to get more of it. All right, our Friday study is on Revelation.
7 o'clock.
Seven.
What are you on now? Still on the 9th?
10.
I mean on the 11th?
11th? Well, you had one study we went to.
11 something. Because I was sick last meeting you had.
Where is the meeting?
Revelation always up.
No, it's, no, the Revelation study is wherever the study is.
Oh, yeah.
But it's supposed to be at our house this month, but it was switched for a couple weeks.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be out of
Mars.
Yeah. 62.
Excuse me, Mary.
Chapter 11, the 15th verse.
Chapter 11, the what verse?
15th verse.
11:15. Does anyone remember what 11:15 says?
Yes, I remember.
Kingdoms of this world.
Yes.
Are the kingdom of this world
has become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, and He will reign forever and ever.
One of the responses wanted to know, how close are we?
Oh, really?
Yes,
we really can't give them an exact date. But tell them we're in that generation.
I thought 62 of them, about three verses.
We need to invite one of our.
Did you really?
Yeah,
we put down. You have
62.
So that's something for.
You have 11?
Not listening. Three verses, sorry. 1:35.
All right, Anna.
I'd like to mention when Buckner wrote, he wants all our back issues of our newsletters. So I didn't want to send them without the Glass's permission.
Do you have them?
And so I mean, how would we do that? Make it into a folder or just?
Do you realize what he's asking?
I know. I generally kept extra copies.
You must have 400 or 500 of them.
No.
Well, wait, no.
Well, they've been going. I've kept them for 10 years or so.
Send them a packet.
So you have a couple hundred in
there. Send a book, right?
Now, which Buckner is this?
John. This is John.
Oh, this is John. We haven't heard
John.
From him
he
in
said,
a while.
Yeah, he sent a contribution of $25.
Oh, you have a couple hundred in
there. That's the letter we had here. I don't know if you got it,
Jen.
They're cleaning. Yeah.
All right, hymn number 62, verses 1, 3, and 5. Okay, 62, verses 1, 3, and 5. Now, when are we supposed to decide on this, Sunday?
No, oh. The business meeting, which will be the second Sunday.
September 8th.
If anyone has any suggestions, please. All right.
through faith in Christ alone. now, O Satan's heart, let all the ransom sing, and triumph now in every heart, through Christ the Lord our King.
Dear Heavenly Father, I will be back.